WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With Election Day less than a week away, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris getting out the vote in battleground states, both in North Carolina and Wisconsin today. Vice President Harris in Raleigh pledging to bring down costs of groceries, health care and prescription drugs. ABC's Selena Wang says Harris also leaned into a message of abortion access, a key issue for voters.
I can tell you I've been speaking to people on the ground, including the Democratic Party chair of Wisconsin, a state that Harris will be going to later today. And he tells me that the number one motivator for what their canvassers are seeing with those swing voters in Wisconsin is abortion. That is the number one issue, he says, that is convincing those Trump supporters to consider Harris for the first time.
GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson says health care will be a central focus if former President Trump is elected. The nation's economy expanding 2.8% in the third quarter, with consumer growth driving those gains. Stocks are up on the data this hour. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's a busy day for political campaigns here in Wisconsin. Tonight, Vice President Kamala Harris will be here in Madison. Her campaign is hosting a Get Out the Vote rally. The goal here is to really target young people, so a lot of UW-Madison students might attend. There will be performances, too, from Gracie Abrams, Mumford & Sons, Remy Wolf, and members of The National. This is Harris's 12th visit to Wisconsin this year. It's at the Alliant Energy Center tonight. It's scheduled to start around 5:30. The last time she was here, and when Barack Obama visited last week with Tim Walz, both at the Alliant Energy Center, there was a lot of traffic congestion around Rimrock Road. Some people had to wait hours to get in and get out. So starting late afternoon, you may want to avoid the Rimrock Road area unless you're going to the rally. Meanwhile, former President Donald Trump is hosting his own rally here in the Badger State tonight. It's in Ashwaubenon. Former Packers quarterback Brett Favre will speak. Of course, that's the biggest race on the ballot, but don't forget there are lots of others for Wisconsin Senator and here in Dane County choosing our next county executive. There are also some seats in the legislature up for grabs. We have a legislative voter guide that can help you figure out who will be on your ballot and which candidate aligns with your views. It details every race in the Assembly and the Senate. Just go to civicmedia.us and you should see a link to the legislative voter guide right on the homepage. And new numbers show the University of Wisconsin system has higher enrollment than projected. 8 campuses across the state have more students than they did last year. UW-Madison's enrollment jumped by almost 1,800, meaning now there are nearly 52,000 students. The UW system relies more on this tuition from students than it used to. Proportionally, the chunk of money from the state has gotten smaller and smaller over the last 30 years. In 1994, student tuition accounted for 14% of the system's budget. Now, it's 23%. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
A Bucks player cited for speeding. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. Milwaukee Bucks guard Andre Jackson Jr. has been slapped with a speeding violation after crashing his BMW into another car, then into an apartment building at Yankee Hill in downtown Milwaukee over the weekend. At first, the team said it was a single car crash, but the Journal Sentinel discovered a second vehicle was involved. No injuries to the two people in that car. Jackson to pay for damages and the $138 fine. The Bucks are in Memphis to face the Grizzlies tomorrow night. NFL Packers rookie linebacker Edrin Cooper talked about his sack and forced fumble against the Jaguars' Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, it's something we work on a lot, you know, like our defense. That's what we want to do, try to get the ball. Explosive plays turn to points, so and that's what happened. So that's just our way of thinking.
Matt LaFleur says the rookie gets better every week.
It seems to me that he's developing a better routine. I think Coop's done a better job in that regard.
The Packers host the Lions on Sunday. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Showers and storms roll in today, and some could be strong, producing vicious winds and torrential downpours. And there also is the smallest risk of a tornado. High temperatures today will hover in the mid-70s and fall to near 60 tonight. Rain is expected tomorrow morning, drying out by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the state of the race in Wisconsin? Ben Wickler will be here. J.R. Radcliffe to talk all things sports. We wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air. Weekday mornings at 11.
A new choice. Madison's real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Love it when we can help break news here on Civic Media. We're going to jump right in this afternoon, folks, with no further introduction, which is rare for me. Usually I like to tell you what we got going on the show today, but I'm going to save that for a little later because my special guest right now is Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. Their pollster extraordinaire, Marquette, just released just minutes ago, it became public. Their newest poll that has just been out in the field. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls for the actual tally of votes. Welcome, Professor Franklin. What can you tell us about where Wisconsin sits in these critical presidential, Senate, and congressional elections?
Well, I think people will be shocked to learn that it's a very close election.
Shocked, I say.
Yes. In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 50-49 with likely voters. That includes people who are initially undecided, but we ask if you had to choose, what would you do? When we let those people stay undecided, it's still a 1-point lead, 48-47 with 5% undecided. I think that 5% is worth noting because that's a lot bigger than the 1 point separating the two candidates and how those people make up their minds over the next 6 days, who to vote for or if to vote. That's easily enough to sway this race. Also, the margin of error for the poll is 4.4 percentage points. So a 1 point lead with a 4-point margin of error certainly means we don't have any clear indication about the lead. When we look at the Senate race, it's a 2-point lead for Tammy Baldwin, 51-49. Or with undecideds, it's 48-45 with 7% undecided. Mm. So in both of these races, the undecideds are enough to tip the balance. We'll see which way they tip in about 6 days from now.
I appreciated your statement, Professor Franklin, to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that it should not surprise anyone if Donald Trump wins, and it should not surprise anyone if Kamala Harris wins. I appreciate you pointing out this tight race. Just because one or the other side wins doesn't mean that something bad happened in our election. It means it's a tight race with people voting in great numbers for both candidates. Speaking about these undecideds, do you have a sense from the polling about who are these low propensity voters? Are these people who don't really a party affiliate? Who are they? Why are 5% seems like a lot?
Yeah, it is, especially after all this campaign. But they are people who are conflicted in ways that make a lot of sense. So people that dislike both candidates, that's about 9% of voters now. And those folks, over 40%, say they haven't made up their minds. They're undecided about how to pick the lesser of the two evils as they see it. Another group is independents. About 21% of them are undecided. Makes sense. They're not partisans by definition. And finally, Republicans who are conflicted over Donald Trump. About 13% of Republicans have an unfavorable view of Trump. That's down from 30% a year ago, by the way. But that 13% is really troubled. Again, 42% of them are undecided. Of those who've made up their minds, about 4 or 5% more voting for Harris than for Trump. But it's clear that almost half of them just are saying they haven't made up their minds at this point.
So based on your experience, especially given the polling that you have done over the 16, 20, and now 24 cycle, Professor Franklin, I'm curious, do you have any sense, statistically based or instinctually based, and you can certainly distinguish between the two, if the undecided voters may be more susceptible, or whether these, what I'm going to call relatively minor media blips that are happening right here at the end, may have some sort of outsized impact simply because people are waiting until the last second. We can think of, you know, Kamala Harris today disclaiming Joe Biden's apparent reference to some set of Trump voters as garbage, or the explicitly racist jokes told at Madison Square Garden. Do these do you expect them to have some sort of impact or sway?
Yeah, this is the in an extremely close race. You worry about any event could tip the race a little bit. What I can tell you, though, is in 2016, when the Comey letter came out about Clinton's email server on the Friday a week before the election, we saw in the exit polls, those people who said they decided in the last week broke heavily for Trump, giving him over 60% of their votes. Those people in 2020 who decided in the last week broke almost as heavily for Joe Biden at the end. So I think the main lesson here is it's really unpredictable which way late deciders go. A big event might tip them uniformly, but it's just awfully hard to know precisely because they're conflicted and they're having so much trouble making up their minds.
How do the third party candidates fit in, especially in the presidential race, Charles?
Yeah, in the presidential race, they're doing a little better than they did a month ago, which is a little surprising. A total of about 9% say they'll vote for a third party candidate. For Kennedy, that actually tipped up a little bit to 5% for him from 3% a month ago. The others didn't move very much. Usually the third party candidates drop off, and that's what was happening until this month's poll. As of late September, they'd continued to decline. I think they reflect this still difficult choice that people feel of those who don't like either candidate, those who are unhappy with the Biden record, but also unhappy with Donald Trump. Those kinds of conflicts are driving some people into the third parties. Also, there are people who are genuinely just anti-Democrat and anti-Republican who are looking for a third party that they think would reflect their values better than the major parties.
Very briefly, setting aside those undecided voters that are moving towards third party candidates, has your polling or experience indicated to you that those third party voters understand very clearly that their third party vote is effectively robbing them of the opportunity to weigh in one way or the other with one of the candidates that will win the election?
I think that became very clear after the 2016 election, when 5.5% voted for third party candidates. But 4 years later, only 1.5% voted for third party candidates. I think that was a lesson that in a really close race, voting for a third party may reflect what you want, but it may also tip the race. And we saw that actually from 2000 to 2004, the third party vote dropped off a lot. But 2016 is 8 years ago. So yeah. People under 30 generally didn't vote in that election. It's a fading memory at this point. And we'll see where the third party vote really ends up next week.
Very briefly, I know you have to go, Charles. Of those undecided, what do you think candidates could do to convince them? Or is this just a point where these people have to make up their minds? I mean, is there some one or two things that's preventing folks from deciding?
I think the candidates have already said and done almost everything they could do. Outside events or a flub of some sort could tilt it a little bit. But I'm really just seeing this conflict between people's partisanship and how they see the candidates, and that's just a real difficult thing for people to cross over and vote for the other party if they dislike their party's nominee, or they don't like the record of the party, or they disagree with the party on issues. Mm. So people are just in a tough spot for that.
Thank you so much. That's Professor Charles Franklin of Marquette University Law School, the polar extraordinaire, the guy that knows all the statistics. Thanks so much, Charles. Really interesting stuff there, folks. If you want to get your 2 cents in on these most recent poll reactions and results, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'm going to give you my reactions right now. I get it. And the thing, as I've been listening to network coverage, and a lot of the network coverage is, of course, focused on these undecided or independent or swing or low propensity voters. And they've got interviews that they've been running of these folks. And the theme that I seem to hear most frequently, especially from conservative and Republican women who are self-identifying as undecided, is something along the lines of, I'm a traditional conservative, and so I don't like Kamala Harris's policies, but Donald Trump is an unacceptable candidate. He is a bad person. Something along these lines. Not my language, theirs. And the thing that occurs to me is, I hope if you are out there and you are one of these undecided voters, and you think that Kamala Harris doesn't match up enough with your policy preferences, I ask you, go to the Washington Post. They've got a policy quiz that you can take. It removes the D's and the R's from the policies, and you go strongly agree to agree. We'll put that poll in our show notes for today. I challenge you to take that poll, see where you land. Do you actually agree more with Kamala Harris's policies than Trump's? I ask you to spend the additional 15 minutes looking at the 16-page policy proposal Donald Trump put together. 16 pages. That's the platform from the RNC. Versus the hundreds of pages of policy proposals. You don't have to read them all. They got an executive summary section that you can find at Kamala Harris's website. There is also in the New York Times a side-by-side comparison of both candidates on the most important policy questions organized by subject matter. We'll put both of those links in our show notes. You can find those at civicmedia.us. And you can check it out. So if you think, gosh, Donald Trump's bad guy, don't like him, not a good person, but I think I like his policies more, go check yourself. I'm Maggie Dawn. We're going to come back with David Marsteller, candidate in the 22nd Assembly District. You want to pay attention to this one, folks. Keep it locked. Coming up next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Football season is back, and Gabriel the Promoter is ready to help you get the party started. Celebrate in style by booking a $100 round-trip party bus shuttle from Madison to Lambeau Field, complete with all-you-can-drink Miller Lite. Tickets to the game are not included. Don't miss out on the ultimate green and gold experience. Book your spot now. Brought to you by Gabriel Promotes and sponsored by Baldwin Street Grill. Call Gabriel the Promoter today, 414-944-1704 while spots are still available.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965 following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
To back today, so you got about 8 minutes, so don't be alarmed by the pace. You're going to want to get in what you want to say. I'm going to start out by... Welcome, y'all. Welcome back, Wisconsin. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. My next guest, his name is David Marsteller. He is the Democratic candidate for the 21st Assembly District. Welcome, David. I want to make sure that you can hear me and the listeners can hear me. Am I good to go? Good to go. Okay. Welcome, David. This is one of the toss-up districts. We got new maps. Jesse Rodriguez has won in the past, your opponent, by like razor-thin margins. You can flip this district. Why should voters vote for you and not your opponent?
Voters should vote for me because I have sound policy ideas. I am a number one advocate for affordable, accessible health care. Having survived a heart transplant, which was made possible by the Affordable Care Act, I had a pre-existing condition, which my brother passed away of in 2003. And as I got more and more ill, insurance companies said, we can no longer cover you because you have a pre-existing condition. I lost my job because I was in the hospital so much. Mm. I was able to find a part-time job that allowed me to afford the Affordable Care Act. And it literally saved my life. So I'm here 6 years later running for office to advocate for other Wisconsinites to have access to affordable health care because it's a right and it shouldn't be a privilege.
Yeah, the human dignity requires health care, period, full stop. And we should make it easier, not harder, more affordable, not less, for every single Wisconsinite to access affordable health care. Your opponent has had the opportunity to expand Badger Care here in the state of Wisconsin and yet hasn't done so. Is that part of your plan to help Wisconsinites access health care? Is the expansion of what we call Badger Care here in the state, which will end up saving Wisconsin taxpayers billions of dollars?
That is absolutely part of my platform, to expand Medicaid and Badger Care. And it will save Wisconsin billions of dollars.
Yeah, what else do you plan to do to work on healthcare for folks in Wisconsin?
Well, what we need to do is we need to reinvest with the University of Wisconsin system, which has been starved for 14 years, so that we can train and retain the best doctors that we can have in our state. We need to train them and retain them in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's no doubt.
We need to make a healthcare atmosphere in Wisconsin that will attract the best providers from across the country that want to come to Wisconsin to practice because it's a good place to practice.
Couldn't agree with you more, David. And I think such a key piece of this when we talk about healthcare is freedom to choose the healthcare that is best for us, whether you are a man or a woman. Where do you stand on reproductive freedoms, David?
On reproductive freedoms, I trust women. That choice is not to be made by politicians in Madison or in Washington, D.C. Those healthcare decisions are to be made by women and their healthcare providers, full stop.
Couldn't agree with you more on that one. I know that you've also pointed out as part of your platform, lowering costs for Wisconsin families. Tell me more about that, David.
Well, what we need to do is we need to look at our property tax issues because they just keep going up exponentially every year. I mean, I know ours in my own home, which went up $3,900 this year. But the assessment, you know, did not go up 39, didn't go up that much. Property taxes keep going up and up and up. And I think Wisconsin, during the revenue sharing, Milwaukee County got a raw deal on that. Two for everyone else, one for us.
Yes. I when we think about property taxes, one of the things, having dealt with property taxes, both when I worked in the city attorney's office and as corporation counsel for Milwaukee County, that I try to point out to people is the more corporate property tax carve-outs you see in state law, and listen, the corporate interests in Wisconsin have lobbied the Republican-controlled legislature, especially back when Scott Walker was still in the state house, for all kinds of property tax carve-outs. And as Republicans literally gave away the farm in terms of property tax carve-outs for large businesses and corporations and the biggest corporate agricultural businesses, what that did is it simply shifted property tax burdens from corporations and large businesses and commercial developers onto the backs of small family homeowners. That is what happened. I think there were something like six or seven massive carve-outs that got passed under the Republican-controlled legislature and during the Scott Walker administration. Exactly to your point, David. I'll just give you a moment, sir, to address voters here in the 21st Assembly District. And by the way, we broadcast out of Radio Park here in Racine, and I drive down and I see all the signs, lots of signs for you, my friend David Marstel, our candidate for the 21st Assembly District. Talk to the voters and tell them why a vote for you is a vote for Wisconsin families come this November 5th.
A vote for me is a vote for Wisconsin families because I will tackle the healthcare issue. I will tackle the reckless and drunk driving epidemic in Milwaukee County by increasing the penalties. I will tackle crime by investing in adequate and competent police training and retention of the best officers we can get. And I will support women's rights to choose. And I just think,
go ahead, David.
As a Wisconsinite, I am for the people of Wisconsin, and I will advocate all I can do to better the lives of the residents of Wisconsin and the residents of Assembly District Number 21.
I really appreciate that, folks. That's David Marstel, candidate for the 21st Assembly District. Listen, when I look at candidates, David, folks that have been through the meat grinder of the U.S. healthcare system, who have been without health insurance, who have seen family members harmed by their lack of access to affordable, top-notch healthcare, I trust people like that because you know what it's like because you have been there. And so as your family, my thanks to you, David, for running for this seat. Best of luck to you. You can find out more about David Marsteller. You can go to marstellerforwisconsin.com. That's marstellerforwisconsin.com. Turn out and vote. The 21st Assembly District up for grabs, folks. Let's give it back to the middle class and hardworking Wisconsin families with a vote for David this November 5th. I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back with Sounds Like Change with Emily's List after these brief messages here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A traditional food favorite here in Wisconsin being reinvented, sauerkraut. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Wednesday. A company in Northeast Wisconsin is going all in on not only traditional sauerkraut, but flavored sauerkraut. Those details on the way.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And 4-seed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
Fermented Food Holdings, one of the world's largest sauerkraut producers, is going all in on the small community of Bear Creek in Northeast Wisconsin, where they're investing $13 million in a production facility and relocating their corporate headquarters to Madison. Jorge Azevedo is their CEO and explains the consumer trends they noticed that helped inspire this expansion.
There is a mature item in the food aisle. If you go into your center aisle, your canned sauerkraut, that has largely stagnated and even started to drop down. And we noticed that the refrigerated stuff, our premium items, the jars that sell for $9, they were growing a lot. And as we started digging, we found out that the people with high income that could pay a lot of money for these artisanal flavors, they weren't having a problem buying it. But the folks that have been traditionally buying that center aisle sauerkraut, that were trying to find a more economically viable solution for them, could not afford it anymore. It's just a reflection of our economy today.
Jorge Azevedo, the CEO of Fermented Foods Holding. They are the investors in the Bear Creek facility that will be producing Flanagan sauerkraut. He said sauerkraut consumption is on an upswing because people see it as a superfood. The company is also going to be offering flavored sauerkrauts, including their classic flavor, beet, kimchi, garlic, and dill flavors.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
Hey, we'd love for you to sign up for our daily e-newsletter. You won't miss a thing when it comes to what's happening with Wisconsin agriculture and food production. All you need to do, submit your email address at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Showers and storms roll in today, and some could be strong, producing vicious winds and torrential downpours. And there also is the smallest risk of a tornado. High temperatures today will hover in the mid-70s and fall to near 60 tonight. Rain is expected tomorrow morning, drying out by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I discuss independent film Green Bay Style. Caitlin Schuchart from the Green Bay Film Festival joins me in studio, and then we celebrate Henry Winkler's birthday. Someone has to. With comedian Mike Toomey.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Yeah, Sarah.
How are you?
Good. Oh, we're on. Hi, Sarah, and welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, though it feels like Friday, but it is Wednesday, and that means it is time for Sounds Like Change. Today, we've got Emily's List, Director of Strategic Communications, Sarah Spain. Welcome back to the show, Sarah. Great to see you.
Thank you. We are 6 days till the election. So I'm like, what day is it?
What day is it? I know it. They've all kind of blended into one. It's mostly like an hour countdown, like clicking through my head. Like I'm thinking of it in those terms now. Coming right up on us, Kamala Harris, I think it was earlier today, rallying young voters in North Carolina. She's going to be in Madison later tonight with Mumford and Sons, and I think Grace Adams and some other acts, again, rallying young voters. I wanted to start there with reproductive rights really square and center, front and center, top of mind for many young voters. Do you think that this strategy of the Harris-Walz campaign to try to do these direct appeals to young voters in swing states is a wise one? And what is Emily's List message to these young voters?
Yeah, I absolutely think that it's going to be a wise strategy from them. And I think they're really going strong with the young voters. We've said this before, we'll say it again. This election is going to be fought and won on abortion rights, and it's going to be won by women voters, especially young women. So I definitely think reaching out to young women voters and making sure they know the stakes, we've seen that that's really effective in swaying who they're voting for. Right now, we have these stakes between Kamala Harris, who is fighting for their reproductive rights, and Donald Trump, who is trying to take it away, take us back, take us into the darkest parts of Project 2025. And so to have these conversations with young voters on college campuses, and we're seeing in North Carolina and Wisconsin, and really having the conversations about the stakes is effective. And I think we're going to see how effective it is after Election Day.
We know that women are accounting for about 55% of the early vote. I'm part of that 55%, got my early voting done this week. Thank goodness that weight is off my back. Don't have to worry about doing that. Why are we seeing the gender gap in early voting, which I think is really interesting?
Yeah, I am part of the 55% too. Make a plan, get your vote in. Early voting is great. I would say it's really encouraging. We're seeing women outpacing men for the early vote right now. Really encouraging statistic, especially because we know women are really drawn to Kamala Harris's message, especially around reproductive rights, as I just said. And so to see early vote, to see this early vote, that it is driving women and they're getting their voices heard at the polls, I think we're going to really see how effective that is when we get to voting day, as I said earlier.
Yeah, I really think, especially the early vote, and given what we think turnout may be for this season, for this election cycle, I always worry I always like to see really high turnout, but I worry that really high turnout days with lines at polls can be discouraging for working people and people that, again, hourly wage workers, women with family or other care responsibilities. So it's one of the reasons that I love to encourage people to do the early vote option if it's available to you. And it's unsurprising to me that women who have more care responsibilities than men, right, are engaging the early vote option. I certainly hope that it shows up in the results. I know Emily's List has been sending folks all across the country to the battleground states in order to knock on doors and speak directly with voters and to get out the vote, as we've been discussing. What are you hearing when you folks are door knocking, Sarah?
Yeah, so I've been on the ground. I've been in Nevada. I've been in Michigan. I've been in Arizona. And I think across the board, something that's really exciting for me, I've been doing field work since 2017. And this is my first presidential where I'm at the doors hearing reproductive rights is an issue that people care about, women and men. We're hearing it consistently at these doors. And it's something really special that
I can't hear Sarah. We just lost Sarah. So, Cardi, I'm just going to ask you, we can't hear Sarah right now. So I'm just going to jump in here as we reset. I'm not sure if that is me or going out. If you guys can let me know whether that's me or we're going out. So, Sarah, this is me back again. I'm just going to do a little setup of a question. I think we got a little trouble with the audio right now. But one of the things that I thought was a really interesting compare and contrast was the fact that Kamala Harris, in her appeal last night, during her closing address, if you will, her closing argument on the ellipse, made it very clear that she wants women to make decisions. She wants individuals to make decisions about what's best for them, not the government. In sharp contrast, Donald Trump, in his Allentown, Pennsylvania rally and address, I'm not kidding, you can't make it up, asked women, does anybody not want me to be your protector? Like, that was his approach. And to me, those things stand in such sharp contrast, right? Here's a presidential candidate saying, I trust women. I think individuals in this country, men and women, need to decide what is in their best healthcare interests in consultation with their doctors, not the government. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is saying, you should trust me to decide what's best for you. I'm your protector. Your reactions to that contrast, Sarah? We still don't have you, Sarah. I'm going to apologize. As we get reset, I'm going to ask you to come in and rejoin if you can, Sarah. Folks, we're just working through a couple of issues here. So I'm going to keep talking about this. If you've got some questions, comments, etc., give us a call or a text, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. One of the issues that I wanted to touch upon today, in addition to this idea of turning out the youth vote and how important that is, and ensuring that all, not just young folks, but women that are motivated by reproductive rights and men that are motivated by perhaps their daughter's reproductive rights or their wife's reproductive rights, that everybody is indeed getting out to vote. Well, this only works, folks, if we preserve the right of people to vote. And I was absolutely flabbergasted this morning when I got a news alert that came across my phone letting me know that the Supreme Court of these United States has permitted Virginia to toss 1,600 people off of their voter rolls. And that really was truly shocking to me, because at the end of the day, in America, voters should pick our elected leaders. It shouldn't be the inverse, right? Through gerrymandering or these voter roll purges. And since we're a same day voter registration state, thank goodness, here in the state of Wisconsin, we don't face this sort of Hobbesian dilemma here. What's going to happen to these 1,600 voters is that anyone who is properly registered, who is a citizen, who is registered, who is legally entitled to vote in Virginia following the Supreme Court decision, they are no longer going to be able to vote in the presidential election. Because in the state of Virginia, Republicans have been very effective at keeping Virginia from moving to a same-day registration state. So you had to have your registration in the state of Virginia well before today. So these 1,600 people, however many of them, are properly citizens and entitled to their franchise and their right to vote, are now robbed of their right to vote because of Republicans cheating in the state of Virginia and the U.S. Supreme Court standing idly by and allowing them to do so. I'm going to go to the phones. Well, let's see. First, do we have Sarah back? Sarah, are you back with us?
I think you have me back. I'm on my phone. Sorry, y'all.
These things happen, Sarah. We'll work through it. It's just live radio. Look, since we're talking about this and since I was sharing with people about the Supreme Court's decision not to step in to prevent registered, properly registered, legally entitled to vote folks in Virginia from voting, and there's been this voter purge in Virginia, what's the reaction of Emily's List and you, Sarah, just personally to this? I think, incredibly shocking turn of events here, some 6 days away from the election.
Yeah, I mean, I think whether it's Republicans trying to run from their agenda, we've seen ballot boxes being burned, all of these things that Republicans really don't want people to vote. They know that women are turning out. We've seen the data. We've seen how electric voters are around these issues. And I think headed into this election, of course, folks don't want people to vote, which is why we're saying make a plan, get to the ballot box. Even Emily's List specifically, we're making sure women know that they can vote and it's not public. And so they don't have to tell their husbands. They don't have to tell their boyfriends. They don't have to tell their partners. Just getting out to vote and being able to vote for the issues you care about in this incredibly high stakes election.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible to me. Andrew from Maine letting us know in Virginia, the registration deadline is 22 days before the election. So why in God's green earth you would allow a voter purge to go into place after that registration deadline? There's a way to challenge individual voters. That's what should have been done here very clearly. Later today, folks, if you want to pick up this discussion with me here on Civic Media, I'm excited to share that we're going to be joined by Melinda Brennan, Executive Director of the ACLU. We will discuss this further. Let's get back to it, though, Sarah. Again, looking at these turnout numbers and looking at the importance of turnout, given all the voter suppression efforts that have been engaged by conservatives, given the fact that the entire door knock operation in the state of Wisconsin is being funded by Elon Musk, and that is not an exaggeration, like literally the entire door knock operation is paid for courtesy of Elon Musk for Donald Trump. When we look at this and these tactics over time, and you rate or we think of this election in sort of the arc of civil rights and voting rights, where do you place this election, Sarah, in terms of the importance of preserving these most fundamental rights, be they reproductive rights or voting rights?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the highest stake election of our lives right now. We have a candidate, Donald Trump, that has made it very clear in his arguments this week on his podcast on Joe Rogan at MSG. He's made it very clear the future that he wants for this country. He was praising authoritarian governments and on Joe Rogan's podcast just this week. And so he's made it very clear that he wants to take us back. He wants to do the darkest parts of Project 2025, and he wants to divide the country. And then we have a candidate, Kamala Harris, that has stood up to American voters saying she wants to turn the page on this extremism, saying she wants to unite the country with really positive language about what our future can look like. And so as we head into these last 6 days, I think the difference between these candidates is very stark. And it's very clear that Donald Trump wants to take us backwards, wants to take away these rights. And so we have to go to the ballot box and we have to be talking to our friends and talking to our neighbors and talking to our family about these stakes. They're incredibly high.
Folks, that is Sarah Spain. She's the Strategic Communications Director for Emily's List. We're going to come back with her. I've got some sound that I want to play you, Emily, when we return after we're going to take care of a little bit of business. We're also going to take your calls and texts at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Before we go to take care of this business, Sarah, where can people find out more about what Emily's List is doing specifically and if they want to get involved?
Yeah, thanks for asking. You can go to www.emilyslist.org where you can learn more about the organization and how to get involved.
Wonderful. That's www.emilyslist.org. Find out more information. You want to knock some doors, feel like you are doing something before November 5th. That's where you can find out more information. I'm going to be back in just a moment with Sarah Spain. We'll continue this discussion. Join it. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. More in just a moment.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Feeling good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Wednesday. We're in the 2:30 block, so it is Sounds Like Change, special guest spot that we host each week at 2:30. With Emily's List today, special guest is Strategic Communications Director Sarah Spain. We're talking about getting that vote out. We're talking about the importance and frankly, the evidence that women are showing up in potentially historic numbers. Very excited. We got a caller that has a question or a comment. Annie from Watertown, say hello to Sarah. And what is your question or comment?
Hi. I sign my name for a lot of things. And I figure when I go to vote, I sign it. Saying, you know, as a message, like an oath.
Yes.
I looked through all the legislative stuff that I can find. Why are they trying to match signatures? There's nothing in there that says signatures have to match.
So here I'm going to give the practical answer, Sarah, if you've got any thoughts on this. I'm going to give you the practical answer to everybody that's listening that is voting absentee or in person early, which means you're going to be signing the outside of your absentee ballot envelope, your early voting envelope. Sign it like you usually do. Don't go fast. Don't be extra neat. Sign it like you normally do, your whole entire name. Oftentimes, there's all kinds of requirements in federal law and elsewhere. They may not specifically address signature matching, but they do address and require cross-referencing of people's identity. One of the ways to do that is cross-referencing or cross-checking signatures. Both if you come in and you sign the poll book, it's checked. It can be checked against the signature on your absentee ballot. Driver's license checks, part of that is built into this system of checks that we have to ensure that legally entitled persons are the only persons that are voting. Sarah, any further comments on that question, which I thought was a great one?
No, I think that's great. You hit the nail on the head.
Just be very careful. Again, we've talked about this before. Best practices as we early vote, as we get engaged. Again, women showing up in higher proportions for early voting because, you know, we're the first ones to get some of our rights degraded, as we've just seen. Make sure you fill out those absentee ballots, envelopes that you're putting the ballot into, not the ballot itself. So fill that out completely. Double check the witness signature. Double check your address. Don't omit your zip code. Don't omit your state. Don't omit your city. Get it right. Double check. Charles from Milwaukee, you had a question or comment, sir.
My question is, so this morning I'm watching TV and I almost fell off the couch. How is it that they can continue to put out false TV ads that are not truthful? This morning I heard one that said Kamala Harris now is going to take away your Social Security. And then I heard another one that said Tammy Baldwin has signed onto a bill that is allowing young girls to get mastectomies.
Sarah, you want to take a crack at this one, or would you like me to go first? Thanks for the question, Charles. Appreciate you.
Yeah, that's a great question, Charles. I think we see this a lot with Republicans. I always say that when they're lying on their ads, they're scared. We've seen ads recently, national ads, about Ruth Bader Ginsburg and abortion that they're putting up for Trump. And so my comment to that is when they're lying on ads like that, they're scared. And some of them are challenged, some of them aren't. That's election law and gets a little bit deeper. But I always say, like, don't listen to them and make sure to talk to your friends and family about why they're false and offer real policies that those candidates are offering. Maggie, back to you if you have any.
Yeah, couple of things here. Usually what you will see in the fine print in political ads is that they're not actually making the claim. They are effectively publicizing a claim or conclusion that has been made by a different new quote unquote news outlet or commentator, and they'll try to quote that. You'll see those citations in very small print. Now, what's interesting is that they'll sometimes selectively choose whom they're quoting. And here's the thing, both of those arguments are sort of shocking on their face. But the reality is that neither of those candidates ever took a position about the specific thing that the ad is claiming. It was part of a bigger policy discussion or bigger policy programs, which means if you take, and there are a ton of attack ads against Senator Baldwin relating to transgender care. Here's the reality. Tammy Baldwin doesn't want the government telling families what is the best health care for their children. And she has stood by legislation that reflects that value. That has been twisted by Eric Hovde and Republicans to say she wants kids getting sex change operations in schools. That's absurd. That's a lie. That is not what she stands for. But just like she defends women's reproductive rights, she also defends the right of families to choose the appropriate health care in consultation with doctors for their children. Sarah, we're going to have to leave it there. Sorry about our audio problems earlier. I can't wait to talk to you next week. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Oh, my goodness. We'll have some things to talk about. Well, hang in there, my friend. Thank you to Emily's List. Again, you can find out more at emilyslist.org. My name is Maggie Dawn. When we come back, it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. I got a great next guest. Her name is Maureen Kennedy. She's a philanthropist, knows a ton about tax policy. We're going to dig in, because if there was one issue to vote on in addition to reproductive and healthcare freedoms, it'd be the tax code. We'll talk about it when we come back here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour continues from beautiful Wisconsin Rapids and the parking lot of WFHR. Reed Gale and Trigvy Olson and myself join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
as a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.